After weeks of tentative peace in Kyiv, Russian missiles hit the Ukrainian capital last night, killing at least one person and injuring 10 others. The strike on a residential apartment happened shortly after UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres met with President Zelensky in the city.
Throughout this conflict, Russian President Vladimir Putin has shown little interest in a diplomatic resolution. Here's U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken testifying before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee earlier this week.
We've seen no sign to date that President Putin is serious about meaningful negotiations. If he is, and if the Ukrainians engage, we'll support that.
For more, we're joined now by John Huntsman, who served as the U.S. ambassador to Russia from 2017 to 2019 and the U.S. ambassador to China from 2009 to 2011. Mr. Ambassador, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jane. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
Shortly after the invasion began, you said, quote, "He's done. The Putin era is over." What did you mean by that? And do you still think that's true more than 2 months into this war?
I think it is true, Jane, and I say that because he's completely isolated, and soon he'll be fighting a war on two fronts. Of course, against Ukraine and its people, and also at home. The reason I say at home is so much of his domestic audience is being force-fed propaganda at this point. But when the body bags start returning to the small villages and towns outside of the big cities of Moscow and St. Petersburg, families are going to respond, they're going to react, and communities are going to rise up. We saw this when the body bags returned from Syria several years ago. That was in the hundreds. This is in the tens of thousands. And then you couple with that the deep economic sanctions that have been launched not only by the United States, but a coalition of Western countries that will hit very, very hard. The people haven't yet felt the impact of those sanctions, but they will. And it's a tragedy that people who are innocent in all of this will suffer the most likely, but they will turn on their government. So to me, it's just a matter of time.
A matter of time. And when you say the Russian people will, quote, turn on their government, what is the scenario where Putin is out of power? How do you see that happening?
Well, the scenario is that ultimately there's enough pressure brought by the people who rise up in the streets. And I would tell you that during relatively benign periods in Russian politics, and I remember this well from living in Moscow, it was not unusual for 25,000 people to turn up on a Sunday afternoon on the streets of Moscow. So the people in Russia are passionate. They know corruption is deep. They have great disdain for the leadership. They can't do much about it. They're force-fed propaganda. So right now, I suspect that we're in a period of ambivalence right now, but that ambivalence is going to change toward a hardened position against the government. And that will manifest itself in people taking to the streets and ultimately Putin losing the support that he has, which of course is 100% within the Legislative Duma and within, of course, his executive agency bodies.
The invasion has not unfolded as many expected. U.S. officials predicted Kyiv would fall in a matter of days, which, of course, did not happen. And this has not gone as Putin expected either. Are you surprised how weak the Russian army is, how poorly they're led? And do you think Putin has second thoughts about what he's done?
I can't help but think that he has second thoughts about his strategy. I think he has a well-established pattern of moving into countries on his periphery and salami slicing a bit of land, sending in his Wagner group and destabilizing the country. I mean, we saw that in 2008 in Georgia, for example. The idea that he amassed 100,000 troops and went straight to Kyiv, I think, took a lot of people by surprise. But it also shows, beneath it all, the weakness of his intelligence infrastructure. I mean, this is a major failure on Putin's part and on his team's part. And I think as a result, they're coming apart piece by piece. His advisors are paying a price. He's becoming more and more isolated. And I think the Putin and the Russia that everyone has feared over the years is now seen for what it is, pretty much a paper tiger.
And yet, when U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says we want to see Russia weakened to the degree that it can't do the kinds of things that it's done in invading Ukraine, do you worry, Mr. Ambassador, about pushing Putin too hard? given how Russia has so often threatened nuclear weapons through this engagement?
Well, he's threatening nuclear weapons because he has no choice. He knows that he's losing a conventional war, and he would lose a conventional war against NATO and the West. So he resorts to talk about nuclear weapons. So Putin does not do diplomacy. This is why I am concerned as a former diplomat. He's a hard power 19th century thinker who only looks at the overall balance of power and the disposition of strategic forces. So his remaining leverage, when you look at it, is potentially very dangerous and destabilizing. He controls energy markets, and we saw yesterday and the day before his attempt to manipulate the energy markets in Europe, which I think is only going to continue. He has cyber capabilities, which can render countries almost unable to provide basic services at the most fundamental level. And of course, he has weapons of mass destruction. So his remaining leverage, as he would see it, is made up of only hard power assets. I would not suspect that he will fall back on any rounds of diplomacy. Putin never de-escalates. He doesn't know how to de-escalate. His professional history would never suggest that he's ever de-escalated. So he's in a very unusual position right now. He's lost a good percentage of his overall military assets. He's had tens of thousands of his troops killed. He's got the potential for a domestic uprising within his own country. And he's becoming increasingly isolated in terms of the people who surround him and provide advice. So the totality of all of this would suggest that we're in a very dangerous moment right now.
You say Vladimir Putin doesn't do diplomacy, and yet he's in many ways controlling energy markets. He's got cyber capabilities, the nuclear threat, of course. And yet he's always managed to hang on to power, to silence his enemies. What makes you think this time is different?
Well, I look at the patterns of history, and I look over the last 100 years at how Russia has underestimated its opponents traditionally and the price they've paid for it, and the fall of empire initially, the Tsar Nikolai and the Russian Empire, the end of the Soviet era because of their miscalculations around Afghanistan. So miscalculations abound here, not only the intelligence that they derived from Ukraine, but I think underestimating the resolve of the United States and the Western world, particularly NATO. I think all of this has been a real surprise and wake-up call to Vladimir Putin. What a lot of observers, Jane, do not understand is he has complete control over his system, but it's a very, very brittle system. And systems that are authoritarian, that are run by a handful of oligarchs and elites at the top, crowding out everyone else when it comes to opportunity, don't last long. And I think the Russian system is at a very fragile moment. I think the people, while being fed propaganda, are going to learn the truth. And I think that truth is going to provide a very painful response. At least that's my hope.
You say Putin has control of a system that may be brittle, but you've described him as a man of empire. And in his office, you saw a portrait of Peter the Great on the wall. What did you come to understand about Putin that we should know moving forward?
Putin is an ultranationalist. He carries, as he would see it, the aspirations of the Russian people traditionally. He is a reincarnation of Peter the Great, a nation builder, a nation protector. He would see it as his responsibility to recreate empire. And I'm not talking about the Soviet Empire. I'm talking about the Russian Empire, whose geography was much different than the Soviet geography. And he turned 70 this fall. He's thinking about legacy. We don't know what kind of health he's in, but presumably he's not altogether with it. And this may be his last opportunity to fulfill his quote-unquote destiny.
Mr. Ambassador, from your perspective, how does this conflict end?
I would like to say it ends peacefully, but I think there's more carnage ahead and way more destruction ahead. Putin has his May 9th Victory Day parade right around the corner. Now, for those who have attended these, and I've attended some in the past, this is where Putin likes to showcase himself and the greatness of the Russian state. He'll have to have a narrative and a position in Ukraine that supports whatever he's going to say on May 9th. And I suspect he's going to end up saying, we've secured the cities of Kharkiv, we've secured Mariupol, we've taken another chunk out of eastern Ukraine. That will be his message, I'm guessing. And he will dig in around those areas, eastern and southern Ukraine. And I'm not sure we're ever going to get him out so long as he's around and in power.
That's John Huntsman, former U.S. ambassador to Russia. Mr. Ambassador, thank you so much for your time.
Jane, great pleasure to be with you.